that we may be stirred up and motivated unto true thanksgiving this day. It is then good to turn to the Word of God and to hear a word from God. In Ephesians chapter 5, Ephesians chapter 5, verses 15 through 21, will be found on page 1041 of your pew Bibles. We'll read 15 through 21, giving emphasis to verse 18 through 20. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. As far as our reading of God's holy, inspired, and infallible Word. As I had mentioned at the opening here, it is good for us to gather together on this National Day of Thanksgiving, because, as we know, Thanksgiving is one of those foundational things that a Christian is called to do. You think of what our Heidelberg Catechism says regarding the fact that we do the things that we are called to do out of heartfelt gratitude to God for what He's done for us. Gratitude and thankfulness is at the heart of the Christian's life. It is the thing that is to move us to all of our other activities within the Christian life. We think of the constant phrases and refrains that are within the Bible that call God's people to give thanksgiving unto Him. We see it so much in the Old Testament, whether it's the sacrifices of thanksgiving, whether it's in the Psalms, and we see it again and again in the New, much like the text that we just read here. But it's repeated for a reason. I ask you then, this morning when you woke up, did you automatically have a heart of gratitude? Or was your first thought, my alarm is too loud, I wish it wasn't going off right now? Or did you think, yeah, the room is too hot, or the room is too cold, the coffee is too strong, or it's too weak, it's too cold, or it's too burnt? Gratitude is difficult for us. We find it easier to grumble and complain and look at what we don't have instead of what we do have. And we can focus on what's not right, what's not in line with our expectations or wants. The reason for this is because this morning, as we do every morning and as we have throughout the day, is we are still sinners. And we are still selfish. By nature, we don't wake up with a heart to give sincere thanksgiving to God. We still have that sinful nature that wars against us. And so this is why we have those constant reminders in Scripture that prods us on to our duty of thanksgiving and to do it sincerely and truly. And think of this text as the same thing. Think of us coming together right now as the same thing. This is why for centuries our Reformed forefathers have had the practice of holding a day of a service on the day of Thanksgiving that they had. And so we do the same today. To prod us on. To be pointed to. And reminded of. What it is to offer true thanksgiving to God. And proper thanksgiving. True and proper thanksgiving is spiritual thanksgiving. Spiritual thanksgiving. That's our title, our theme. That is the aspect that our text draws out, and we'll consider that in two basic points. First is the source of thanksgiving, and second, the direction of thanksgiving. And so first, in considering the source of thanksgiving, there is implied in this text a triune dimension. The triune God is the source of our thanksgiving that we have and is the source for all of the things that we are to be thankful for. And we are to be thankful for the triune God. But notice in verse 20, it speaks of God the Father. And you may remember, like it was mentioned Sunday evening, as our Father, God cares and He gives to us our daily bread and He provides for all our physical needs. But He's also our Creator. He's given to us a soul with which we may sense and express thanksgiving and have that within us. And we have He's given to us a mind by which we can know that we are to be thankful. He's given to us a mouth to express it and hands and feet to do acts of thanksgiving. That is why He provides our daily bread for us, and we may continue to do these things. We also see that the same verse, verse 20, mentions our Lord Jesus Christ. And so we see that by our Lord, our Father has taken care of not only our physical needs, but also our spiritual needs. His atoning sacrifice on the cross is the fountainhead, if you will, of all of our thanksgiving. Apart from His cross work and His work of atonement, could we truly thank God for anything? We would still have reason to thank God, but the question is, could we? Could we ever be called His children? Would any of the thanksgiving that we offer unto God be washed, be sanctified and cleansed of sin to be viewed by God as sincere and pure thanksgiving, acceptable in His sight? Well, it is for the sake of our Lord's person and His work together that God is our Father. And He views our thanksgiving as that of a child. And it is for the sake of His person and work that we also have the Holy Spirit. That is the emphasis here. It is out of that cross that we have been given the Spirit. And it is important here to notice verse 18. The only way in which a person will give sincere thanksgiving to God as if he is filled by the Spirit. He's been given the Spirit. He is God dwelling in us, working in us, both to will and to do. And so He is the source of all the true thanksgiving that arises within us. You can see that the logic of this text that it spells this out. And you can see it in a grammatical way. There's a grammatical logic that you can see very easily. All of those ing words that you see there, speaking and singing and making, they all flow out grammatically from this being filled with the Spirit. But it's not just a grammatical logic, it's a theological logic and a theological flow too, because it is impossible to sing with a true spirit of melody in our hearts to the Lord apart from the Spirit. It is impossible to give thanks to God without the Spirit. The Spirit's role is to give real life, spiritual life to our souls, and a part of that includes the renewing of our minds, and to understand who God is in Himself in a new way, in a real way, and to understand what it is that He has done for us, especially pertaining to the work of redemption. It enables you to see who you are, a different perspective. You come to know in a real way what it is you really deserve. I deserve nothing except condemnation for my sins. And yet we come to see that I have received everything in spite of that. We are the recipients of indescribable benefits from God our Father through the Lord Jesus Christ, because we now are those who live in constant fellowship with the Lord in grace. We are a people who have the privileges of a new life, a heavenly inheritance that will go on for eternity. And we are the ones who have a future and a hope. And not by any virtue in and of ourselves, but by the grace of God. True spiritual thanksgiving flows out of this new heart. It causes us to see that not only do we have this from this work and this benefit of redemption by His grace, and we come to see that every other thing in our life, since we are now His child, adopted, every other thing is a token of His grace. And so the Spirit brings these truths home to us to give praise to our hearts and to give a vibrancy and a vitality to our lives. It's seen in the production of the fruit of the Spirit. You all know the fruit of the Spirit. Famously, it's in Galatians 5, verse 22 and 23. You probably have it memorized. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. But it's also given to us just a few verses prior in our chapter, but in a much more concise way. Verse 9. Goodness, righteousness, and truth. And then flowing out of that, we see that our verses do the same sort of thing. Verses 19 and 20 is what it looks like to be filled with the Spirit. If we have then someone who is filled with the fruit of the Spirit, who is loving, who is joyful, who is peaceful, who is patient, who is kind, and all of the other things, do you think a person like that is going to be a thankful person? Especially if they are ever and always aware or have become made aware of who they are and what they received by grace. I think they will. I think they will be a grateful person. So it's good for us to drive home the importance of the Spirit here and to take heed to His fruits. And to take heed that we do not grieve the Spirit. How do we do that? Well, the previous chapter, verse 31. The bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, evil speaking. Well, you take that list and compare it with Galatians 5. It's almost the opposite words here. You think of bitter, vengeful, angry, argumentative, evil-speaking person is going to be a thankful person. It's someone who is discontent, prone to complain and grumble about everything and all of the details and even the big things and the small things. Someone who is prone to focus on the things which are not up to their standards or their expectations, how things are not going the way that they want it to go, especially down to the very last detail. Are they going to be a thankful person? That is someone who is radically unthankful and selfish. Does that describe you? If that does, then how will you properly observe this day of Thanksgiving with this attitude of heart that grieves the Spirit who we need in order to offer up true thanksgiving? Well, we need to then heed what he says there in verse 31 of put these things away from you. Put them away with all malice, with fervency. A person filled with the Spirit displays the fruit of the Spirit, seen in rendering heartfelt gratitude to our triune God. And so we see that he's also the direction of our thanksgiving. That brings us to our second point. Now, verse 20 says that we give thanks to God the Father in or through the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. That is the direction. And that is the only appropriate direction to give our thanks. But it's good for us to hear this. Now, boys and girls, now think for a moment about a Christmas Day. Oh, only for a moment, or perhaps even your birthday. And you probably see that as the day that you get presents. You're going to get your gifts. You have a list. And you send it out to grandma or grandpa or your mom and dad, and you hope and you wish that you will get what it is that you've asked for, and then what is handed to you when that day comes, and you are so thrilled because it looks to be just about the right size, and you feverishly unwrap it, and you throw the wrapping aside, and you open up the box, and it's exactly what it is you wanted. Oh, you're so thrilled, you're so excited that you rip right into the box and you start looking at it and playing with the toy right there. But you forgot to say thanks. Because you were too excited. And so mom and dad tell you, hey, say thank you. Say thank you. But you're too excited and your brain's gone haywire and all you do is just blurt out thank you indiscriminately. And you resume playing and then your parents come and say, no, you need to thank grandma and grandpa. Because they got it for you. They gave it to you. And you look around and you can't find them because you're too excited and you're holding your toy. And so your parents say to you again, just put the toy down and go to them and say, thank you, Grandma and Grandpa. I think a lot of our Thanksgiving days could be a lot like these little excited kids. The things that we receive from the hand of God, and you know, by the time lunchtime comes around, you're going to be so hungry, you're going to want to dig in and get after it right away. And then we see all of the stuff that we have, the family that's around us, the food that's on our plate, the jobs that we have, and just put it down for a moment, figuratively speaking. and go to God our Father in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, say thank you for this. And he's given it to you to enjoy. We are to trace these things that we receive back to the hand of God that has given it to us. This is what the pilgrims had in mind when they celebrated their first Thanksgiving 400 years ago in 1621. Boys and girls, I know you are probably very familiar with the history of the pilgrims, but just a bit of a reminder, in 1621, they reflected upon what they considered to be a very good year. Very good in the sense that they lived through the year. They had somewhat of a harvest. They had some buildings, and they didn't have any disease that utterly wiped them away. And so the governor of the colony there, those pilgrims, he dedicated a day to give thanks specifically unto God. And if you fast forward 200 plus years to the year 1863, and that places us right in the middle of the Civil War within the United States. And at that time, President Abraham Lincoln declared a national day of thanksgiving, with a note especially that give thanks was to be given to the God of heaven and earth. We fast forward another 158 years, which brings us to the present, 2021. It's 400 years, and in those 400 years, we've come a long way as a nation and as a culture, but not in a good way. You think of what's out there. You think of what is in our culture, what is in our society, in our nation. A lot of these ideas that have developed over these 400 years. To name a few, you think of the theory of evolutionary origins, which essentially says that it was the random process of nature that brought all things into existence. You think also of a teaching such as secularism, which says that there is nothing outside of the here and now. Or naturalism, which says that there's nothing but the physical world. Or humanism, which states that man is the center of this whole world. And what all of these things have in common is that they are worldviews that have removed God from their picture. And another thing that they have in common is that in some way, shape, or form, all of these ideas have grown into acceptance. They are so popular that it is the dominant mindsets of our culture, and probably so dominant that it spills into our mindset sometimes without us even realizing it. But the chances are better that the random stranger you encounter at the mall or at the grocery store believes this than he would believe God the Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. The same is true for the majority of those in the media, I suppose, who are right now even promoting Thanksgiving through commercials, through ads, TV specials, news broadcasts, political speeches, who knows? It makes me to wonder, as I'm sure it makes you to wonder too. As then people buy for Thanksgiving, as they advertise for Thanksgiving, as they speak about Thanksgiving, and as they make plans around Thanksgiving, who are they going to give thanks to if it's not the one true God of heaven and earth? If evolution and humanism and secularism and all these other things are true, who ought we give thanks to? Well, the only logical answer to that, unfortunately, is us. Well, give thanks to our own evolutionary successes. Give thanks for our own human advancements. Give thanks because I've done this and I've done that. So we have to spend the day praising and glorifying ourselves. And this is what you find people doing this day. Well, give thanks. Well, sure, I'll give thanks. I'll thank myself for being so wonderful and amazing. And now I'm going to go do what I want to do, which is to see how much food I can eat and how much stuff I can buy and how little I can do, because it's about me. This is not spiritual thanksgiving. And yet it has crept in some ways into our mind and our thinking about what it is that we want to do. But it is not spiritual thanksgiving, and nor is it spiritual thanksgiving if someone out there were to give some sort of vague gratitude to their idea of who God is, because they have not, as in verse 20, recognized Jesus Christ as Lord. The individual who has not bent the knee to the Lord will walk around complimenting themselves in a very arrogant kind of way because they think they are Lord. Or they give thanks to a different Lord who is no Lord, which is an idolatry. The fact is they can't bend the knee, because 1 Corinthians 12 verse 3 makes it very clear. No one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Spirit. Now what he's meaning here is not just uttering those syllables and that sound out of their mouth. What he's saying is that no one will acknowledge the truth or see that reality unless they are filled with the Holy Spirit. And that is believers, that's you and me. The spiritual person is one who recognizes Jesus as Lord. Lord in the sense of master. Lord in the sense of sovereign one. Lord in the sense that He owns everything, and out of His abundant provision, He has given to me all that which I have received. And therefore, true spiritual thanksgiving is that which is directed in or through our Lord. With a knee that is bent low, humble before Him, and yet in loving and joyful and worshipful thanksgiving for what He's given and for who He is. This is why it's important for us to reject these unbiblical theories and say that we as the Church of Christ, the children of God, His spiritual people, together say, He is our Lord. There is that personal ownership. And by that I mean there is that appropriation of the fact and the recognition of the fact that He is our Lord. And notice it's not just my Lord, but our Lord. There's a corporate dimension to this, and one that emphasizes the importance of the community of believers. Notice then that this direction of thanksgiving has a horizontal aspect to it as well. Not that we are the objects of thanksgiving. God alone is that. But verse 19, notice, says that we are to be speaking to one another in psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in our heart to the Lord. This is what we are doing here. In contrast to what the world is doing in their thanksgiving, we come together to do this, to speak to one another. How in the world would a congregation speak to one another if they did not gather together? I suppose it's true that we can thank the Lord in our own homes, in our own families, with our private times of praise and thanksgiving in our own hearts. In fact, that is something we are called to do, even encouraged to do. But we ought not use that to minimize the importance of coming together in the place where the people of God, as the family of God, gathers together to praise the Lord, speaking to one another, and singing and making melody in the heart. I think there is, in our day, an increasing danger of this individualism, a separation, which says I can praise God by myself. I could do so in my own home. I mean, after all, it's live streamed. I couldn't do this in my own way and in my own time. But we see here spiritual thanksgiving is never selfish. It's never focused on just the individual. And its primary concern, thanksgiving, is not about me. But it's directed unto God. It's God-focused. It is to come to say to the Lord, "You are worthy to be praised. You are worthy to be thanked." And the desire to do that with others, to give thanks together, is very clear in the Psalms that the many psalmists, David included, loved going to the courts and to the tabernacle of God, to the house of prayer, to praise God, to gather with the saints to worship and thank God. It was his joy, it was his delight. And their hearts were saddened when they could not join the multitudes who were going on their way to Jerusalem to do that. Because they understood that there's something proper, there's something fitting, there's something good about the people of God coming together. Because joy and thanksgiving is sweetened and enlivened when it is shared. The spiritual life is contagious. You know how you can take on the characteristics and the mindset of those that you spend time with. You catch their attitude, and if the majority of your time is spent with people who are bitter and complain and grumble and who speak evil and are prone to wrath, well, do not be surprised then if you are not thankful. Discontentment is contagious, but so is thankfulness. We come together to stir one another up unto true exercises of thanksgiving, speaking to one another, expressing our thanksgiving with one another, motivating one another to do so, to give more and more thanksgiving unto God. And so this day, this national day of thanksgiving, where we are the ones who can truly give thanks to God because we have His Spirit, what better way then to stir us and direct us unto true thanksgiving in this day, but also throughout our entire lives? And by gathering together with other individuals who are filled by the Spirit, as they too express that joyful attitude that the Spirit gives to them. And open our mouths together to express to one another the heartfelt melody of thanks for all things to God the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Let us pray. Great God of heaven and earth, we do thank you truly and sincerely for giving to us help of your Spirit to even thank you. And so we ask for your continued help as we go from here to offer our lives a thank offering to you. That we would do so sincerely, truly, with our mouths, with our minds, with our hands and our feet, motivating and stirring one another up to do so. And we pray this for the sake of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen.